Live streaming at 991fmtalk.com.
The FM News and Talk of Northern Nevada, 99.1.
And 92.3 FM.
Hi, friends. Welcome back. Welcome back. John Potter, live and local every Saturday at 9 to noon on these radio stations. On the phone with us, it's Greg Kidd for Congress, District 2, running against Mark Amaday, as I said earlier in the show. And Greg has been on a few times. People want to know why. And I said, well, it's because he really, really is working hard to win this election. And Mr. Kidd is a sponsor. But we don't treat this like an infomercial. We are always open and accepting of other viewpoints and your side at 884-9910. Mark Amaday can call, or his supporters. Mr. Kidd is able to answer any questions very well, I think. So welcome back, Greg Kidd for Congress. Good morning, sir.
Welcome back. I think I might be the real conservative in the race, if anybody saw the last two debates. Mark's been surprising.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, you've already, speaking of Mark Amaday, you were in what's called, they don't call it a debate, Greg. They called it a candidate forum with your opponent, Congressman Mark Amaday, the forum hosted by the League of Women Voters. How did that go, sir?
Well, I think it was quite affable, but I think people got to see the real Greg and the real Mark, and everybody had a good time.
What were the highlights? Were there any highlights or lowlights in your opinion?
Well, I think Mark's almost as pro-choice as I am, and I think I'm more of a fiscal conservative than he is. So it's going to be an interesting race. I think we also learned that in the room there's one former Democrat, and that's not me. I hadn't known that he'd been a Democrat during the Reagan years. And so lots of things were learned that night.
Why do you say that you are the candidate of fiscal responsibility? He's a Republican, has been for a long time now. But you say you are the candidate of fiscal responsibility. Where does Mark Amaday, how is he weak in that department, sir?
Well, you got to remember, I come from the Federal Reserve, and we're the guys that worry about these deficits that get run up by Treasury. And, so I'm as concerned whether Joe Biden runs up a $3.5 trillion add to the national debt during his administration, or, during the Trump administration, it was $6.5 trillion. And, George Bush didn't do too bad with those couple of wars, but, we haven't had a balanced budget since, I'm afraid to say, Bill Clinton. And so whoever's running up the budget, basically spending what we can't collect, I'm not for that.
This candidate forum, voter ID, came up. State question 7 asking if our Nevada Constitution should be amended to require voters to either present photo identification to verify their identity when voting in person, or certain personal information to verify their identity when voting by mail. You said you would vote no on this question 7 for the voter ID. And one reason you brought it up, why you're voting no on this, or you're against it, is because you said elections are already very expensive, and this would add a layer of expense. And I'm tying that into what you said about fiscal responsibility. Could you elaborate on this? How is it becoming more expensive to have voter ID?
Well, no, I wasn't so concerned about it being more expensive. I'm just concerned, I come from the national security and banking business, and if anybody's ever been to a bar and seen how many fake IDs are out there, one of the easiest forms of identity to fake is a government ID. So I sure don't want that to be the only way or the final way. So I'm happy for people to have government IDs, but I think there needs to be additional security to make our elections safe. Government ID is just not enough, and making that the sole way or the preferred way, that's poor security. And so biometrics, things like that, plus signatures, round-tripping the mobile phone, there's other things you can do to make the elections much more secure. So I'm going for the most secure form.
And one way you brought is an option, I heard that you say you could use a phone and would be more secure than a photo ID. Is that right?
Well, it's in addition. So you have signatures round-tripping the mobile phone. So when you register, you know, when you register with the signature, you round trip your mobile phone. When it comes time to vote, they send that text message out to make sure it's you, match the signature. That's just what we call two-factor authentication. That's the standard around the world for high security.
All right. Phil is very busy, I can see, in Carson City. We got a bunch of calls already. So, Phil, if you're able to, let's get Jim on the line. Jim is calling from Reno. Jim, I'm glad you called. You're on the air with Mr. Greg Kidd. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you. I appreciate being on this. I'd like to know, Mr. Kidd, if you were to get elected, which party would you caucus with?
So I'm going to be caucusing on the issues. I think people know where I stand. I am the pro-choice candidate.
No.
But on issues that are
to do with things like financial regulation
and whatnot, I'm definitely caucusing with the Republicans. I've been very friendly with Cynthia Lummis from Wyoming and have been pushing for a number of legislative initiatives that have been put forth by the Republicans. I've been successful at getting some Democrats to sign on those.
Mr. Kidd? If you don't caucus,
yes, sir.
If you don't caucus with a party, you don't get committee assignments, and there's no way you can be successful. So you're going to have to, whether you like it or not, caucus.
So well, I know that's caucus, your belief, but I've been in Washington for 20 years on and off.
All right,
working behind the
Jim, that's not Jim. Thank you, sir. You got your viewpoint. No, that second part was not a question for him. But anything else you want to say about what he just said, Mr. Kidd?
No, just that it is possible to get committee assignments, and other senators and congressmen have done it over the years. And there's a long history here for the Silver State. You know, we have a history here in Nevada of working with both Republicans and Democrats to get done what's best for our district.
Okay, well said. Let's go to Bob calling from Sparks. Bob, you're on the air with Greg Kidd for Congress. I'm glad you called. Go ahead, sir.
Good morning, John. I was okay with Mr. Kidd, except when I saw the billboard that said he was behind Planned Parenthood. And I said, well, you know, you can't have everything and so forth and so on. But when I found out just recently on your show, I believe, that he was supporting the Vice President Giggles and Tampon Tim, I said, that's it. There is no way, and you know what I mean, that I would ever vote for him for that.
All right.
What's his explanation?
All right. What's your explanation, Mr. Kidd? Go ahead.
Well, I just encourage people to listen to the debate. Mark was touting his support for Planned Parenthood as well. So I know people might be unhappy about Planned Parenthood, but I think you'll find that Mr. Amoday was touting his credentials with Planned Parenthood as well. So, you know, you have two folks that are basically supporting the statutory standing for abortion in the Second District of Nevada. And I think, just again, I just encourage you to go listen to the debates and see where Mark stands on that.
Yeah, I was going to say now in this forum, because I haven't heard a clear answer from Mark Amoday whether or not he supports or is against question six, which is the abortion question. He doesn't seem to support it. He says what Nevada voters approved in 1990, the 24-week abortion rights, is working well on its own. And like Trump, he believes the states should decide on their own abortion laws. He's against a federal abortion rights law, but that's not really what question six is. You are for a federal abortion rights law, and you say yes on Nevada's question six. Am I right?
That's correct. And just to clarify, Mark's quibble with question six is it just changes the language from doctor to qualified medical advisor. I find that a very minor distinction. But other than that, he seems quite supportive of the state's right to have a 24-week abortion ban. And so I don't really see daylight between Mark and I. I'm fine at a federal level, too, because I don't think women's rights should change crossing state borders. And also my wife, former wife, she performs those types of operations, and I don't want her to get sued simply because she performed that legal operation on someone who came here from Idaho.
Okay. Let's go to Lisa calling from Smith Valley. Now, Greg, you said in the beginning that you were more of a fiscal conservative than Mark Amaday, and I think Lisa disagrees, and you're saying, Lisa, Greg is not fiscal conservative. Is that what I'm hearing from the producer?
Actually, not on the fiscal, but I'm no huge fan of Amaday. However, I heard on your show Mr. Kidd say he will be voting for Kamala Harris. To me, there's nothing conservative about this person. Is that correct, Mr. Kidd? Why would you vote for Kamala Harris?
Thank you for calling, Lisa. Greg, go ahead.
Sure. Well, look, on a bunch of issues, I do align with Mr. Trump. He's done very well for me financially. And so I do, on a number of issues, agree with Republicans and Mr. Trump. But I just wasn't raised in a way where we do personal attacks on people. And so I find that character aspect disqualifying for the presidency. And so it's just kind of the way I was raised. And so I'm not in a position, given the personal attacks on the other candidates and on people, to support Donald Trump in this election.
Oh, my gosh. That doesn't make any sense at all if you care at all about our country. And also, if you listen to Ms. Harris, you would hear her making many personal attacks. So, I don't think that's a great reason.
All right, Lisa. I'm glad you called. Once again, we're looking for questions, but good to hear your opinion.
I think that was a question.
Okay,
that's
go
a
ahead.
Fair question. No,
yeah,
it is a fair question. Go ahead. I'll take another.
Right. Well, the first part was a question. Yes. Gotcha there. Let's go to Jay, Portugal. I'm sorry, what? Jeff, I'm sorry. Got a W there. Jeff is calling, a Reno resident. Hey, Jeff, you're on the air with Greg Kidd. Go ahead, sir.
All right, and thank you for taking the call. Greg, I have a question. And I hope you don't mind, I'm going to be blunt. Do you believe all the lies that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have told about Donald Trump? And because if you believe the lies, you're not a serious person. I'm going to have to call you an idiot. And if you don't believe their lies, how can you tolerate that? I mean, they go to libel and slander and just total defamatory lies, the kind of lies that the Bible likens to murder. And you're not supposed to tolerate that.
Okay, thank you, Jeff. Greg, go ahead.
So I certainly don't believe everything that Joe Biden or Kamala Harris have said about Donald Trump. So, I mean, I can answer that question quite simply. I don't approve of that behavior on either side.
Oh, yeah, and it's political season. I'm sorry, both sides are deep in the mud with this kind of thing. I did get an email about the Kamala thing, email from listener, and it comes from Mark Gerard. Mark, I hope you're listening. And bear with me, the email's a little bit long. It reads, Mr. Kidd said in your interview that he was voting for Kamala Harris, and explaining why he was supporting her, he commented on the Trump tax cuts, still in effect, but to be phased out in 2025, quote, that they only benefited billionaires. Mark writes, I graduated from Notre Dame Law School, took several federal tax courses, am a retired U.S. Air Force JAG, and still practice tax law. The law in question actually lowered tax rates for every tax bracket for all taxpayers, not for simply the wealthy, as Democrats often claim. John, you should have known this was false, and you should have challenged him. It's never good to let politicians or would-be politicians play fast and loose with the facts. That's Mark's email. Mark, I hope you're listening. I'll take that criticism, and I'll add this. You should have challenged him. We always give the phone number out. Greg Kidd comes on here to take your call, but instead you write to the radio station and complain. I'm sorry, I don't have a similar tax experience to you, Mark. Your point is valid, but your experience is unknown to me, so I wish you had called, and that's why we open up the phone lines. We're here to get your personal experiences with government policy better than I can. Okay. Mr. Kidd, what about what Mark says? Do you still say the Trump tax cuts only benefited billionaires?
No, no, no. They benefited most everybody, but they benefited me in particular. That's what I meant to say, and I'm sorry if I wasn't clear about that. But what I really wanted to emphasize is, I mean, you can tax cut all you want, but if you don't have spending cuts on the other side, it adds to the deficit. That just means more interest. That just means more costs for us all to bear. It means more inflation. And so it's a false economy. If you're going to cut taxes, you're going to have to cut spending too. That's why I'm saying, really, I'm a conservative on this. So same thing coming around this time. If you've added up the tax cuts that both candidates are putting forth, I mean, Kamala's put some out there, but Donald's put a lot more. There's no offsetting spending cuts. And we're, you know, at some point, the ink's going to run out on the printing machine, and we're all going to be paying for it. And so I am for fiscal responsibility. Can't cut taxes unless you cut spending.
All right, we're going to take a break. One more segment with Mr. Greg Kidd, running for Congress District 2 against Mark Amaday. Questions, 884-9910. We'll be back after a few. I'm John Potter on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk Time, 1122.
Audience participation suggested. KKFT is Nevada's Fox News FM Talk Station, 99.1.
And 92.3 FM.
Glad you're with us, folks. I'm John Potter, live and local every Saturday morning. Love being here, talking to you, 9 to noon. On these radio stations, on the phone for one more segment is Greg Kidd, running against Mark Amaday for Congress District 2. Let's go to Sally, calling from Southlake. Hey, Sally, good morning. I'm
hi.
Glad you called. Say hi to Mr. Kidd.
Hello, good morning.
Howdy. Good morning.
I remember Reagan. He cut taxes, and the federal income, because of that tax cut, increased by about 50%. They had more revenue because more people were spending money that they had because of the tax cut, and then they were buying more things, more jobs, more people were paying taxes. So in the long run, you end up with more money for the federal government when taxes are cut. Look it up.
Okay, not a question. Okay, thanks, Sally.
But I do want to answer that question. So, look, I was a big supporter of Ronald Reagan winning the Cold War. But let's be clear. The economy did grow, but I did look it up, and you'll find out that the deficit and the debt exploded under Reagan. So you can look it up, too. Everybody can look it up. He's not the one that balanced the budget or closed the gap. But I love what Ronald Reagan did with the money. I love that business was booming. But let's be very clear. One thing he didn't get on top of was that's why he had the big fight with David Stockman, right? All of you can look it up. But I love Reagan and what he did with the Cold War. Thank you.
All right, let's go to Deborah calling from Carson City. Deborah, welcome to the show. I'm glad you called. Deborah? Might be listening to the radio. We have a bit of a delay. Are you rushing to the phone there, Deborah? Okay, I guess not. All right, we're down to the last 3 minutes. Anything we didn't touch on, Mr. Kidd? I really, where can people see this voter forum that the League of Women Voters put on with you and Amaday?
We should have it up on kidfornevada.com. Have a look there. If it's not up today, it should be up shortly. I will just say, look, you know, I don't have anything against Mark, but, you know, Mark's in a different situation. He has taken a lot of money, lobbying money, money from the mining industry, the gambling industry. I like those industries. I'm just not going to take money from them. And, you know, I'm in a position to basically stand up for Nevada first and not be, you know, in the pocket of any lobbyists or any special interest group. And so just want to make that point. And, you know, I do encourage people to look and ask the question. You know, I'm a businessman. He's a lawyer. There was a point made during the debate. Says, wow, you sound like Trump. And I said, yeah, in this regard, I am more like Donald Trump. He's a businessman. I'm a businessman. I don't take a lawyer's view of things.
Well, get the
I
forum.
Hire lawyers, but
yeah, get the forum on your website, because I hear you talked about housing affordability, you two, immigration, border policy, climate change, misinformation, mining. It's all in this forum. So I'm sure it's going to be very interesting and educational for anybody who's going to vote. Let's go to Tom in Carson City. Oh, my gosh. Tom asked the question I was going to ask you. The previous guests say no on ranked choice voting. And, Tom, you have that's your question, isn't it?
That is correct. And I wanted to enter one other thing. You have to realize Ronald Reagan, Elon Musk, and Donald Trump were all Democrats, like Mark, before they became Republicans.
And but you want to ask Greg if he is with for ranked choice voting, is that right?
That is correct.
All right, Greg.
So I'm neutral on all that. I have to, it would be very beneficial for me to have it, but I'm going to go with whatever Nevada chooses. And so I'm much more for the open primaries than the ranked choice voting. But if people in Nevada want it, I'm good for it. If they don't, that's fine. I've heard arguments that people from Nevada, it's too complicated. But I've worked in Maine. I've worked in Alaska. I've also worked in New Zealand. I am sure that Nevadans will be able to figure it out. And so I don't really take that criticism. But if they don't want it, I get it. I'll work with whatever Nevada chooses.
You know, I feel that way, too, that the party politicians who are opposed to question three are telling us that we're just too darn stupid to vote like that.
That is the argument. I've heard that argument, and I beg to disagree.
Okay.
Doesn't mean we should do it, but yeah. I don't have any lack of faith in Nevadans.
Okay, sir. Do we have Deborah's call there? It's still green there, Craig. Deborah is calling from Carson City. Deborah, go ahead. You're on with Greg Kidd.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm a registered libertarian here in Carson City, and I was going to vote for Mr. Kidd, but then I started doing a little more research on him because of his ads. I thought, well, there's some things that just don't sound right. So I'm wondering how somebody from Connecticut and who has gone to very elite schools, three that I can remember as far as my research, how do you proclaim to know what Nevadans are all about? And I've been here for 50 years.
God bless you, Deborah. Thanks for the question. Greg, go ahead.
Well, it was interesting at the debate. If you've seen the debate, I start by asking, you know, who in the audience was born here? And almost every hand, you know, who wasn't born here? Almost everybody in that audience was not born here. And I made the observation, well, I guess we all chose to come here. Mark, you didn't have any choice because you were born here. But I can't pretend that I was born in Nevada, but we, all the people that have moved here for whatever reason at whatever time, we want what's best for Nevada. And so I don't have a crystal ball. I have to ask people and listen, and that's the best I can do. And so my views, you know, represent what I'm hearing from the people.
All right. Let's wrap it up here. Final minute, Mr. Greg Kidd, about, this is the first day of in-person voting, early voting going on today. So I'll give you 60 seconds. Go ahead, sir, before we leave you.
Well, look, folks, Mark and I, like I said, we don't have anything personal against one another. I think we had a really good, amicable debate. But at the end of the day, I am asking you to think about what is a true conservative and when do you want to have somebody who has a lawyer's view about what you can't do versus kind of a business person's view of what you can do. I don't care whether there's money that's coming to the state from Republicans or Democrats. If it's good for Nevada, I'm going to vote for it. And, you know, I have my beefs with the Democratic Party. I have my beefs with the Republican Party, but I've worked with both. And, you know, even our Republican governor, Lombardo, and former Republican Governor Sandoval, there's money in there for Nevada. If we don't take that money, it's going to be more taxes for us, and it's going to leave us in a laggard position. I'll say it again, Nevada first, before party. Thank you for your time today.
All right, Mr. Greg Kidd, been a pleasure getting to know you, past couple of interviews. Appreciate you calling and spending time with us, and good luck. And Mark Amadei, if you're listening, good luck to you too, sir. I'm John Potter, going to break for Fox News and be back with Open Topic, anything you want to talk about, 884-9910. We have till noon, folks, or you have till noon, to join in each and every Saturday, 9 to noon, on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk Time, 1133.
Fox News, and live FM talk radio. KKFT 99.1 FM Talk. And live right now with your calls.
The Weekend on News Talk 99.1 and 92.3 FM.
Hi there, folks. Welcome back. Welcome back. John Potter, live and local. I haven't looked at the emails yet, but when I get home, I will. And I'm sure there's going to be some emails that say, why didn't you hammer that guy? He's not a conservative. He said he'd vote for Kamala. You should have told him this and that. But you know what? I was brought up to be a gentleman and treat people with full respect. I'm not judging the people who called, like the lady who called him an idiot. I mean, you know, he was open to it, and he took it, and that's one reason I think we need more politicians who actually take the brunt of opposing opinions and listen to them, and that's what we need to do. So anyway, don't know if that went well or not, but I'll find out. I'll get some feedback, I'm sure. So what happened this week? The FBI said crime was down. Trump said the FBI was wrong. The press said Trump was lying. The FBI said it was mistaken and crime actually was up. Like I and many of you good folks were quite sure it was. But this deception didn't surprise me. It's the same story with the employment numbers. They were overstated by 818,000 on the crime number revision or correction this week. Trump said, I told you so. And the press said nothing about the correction. They ignored that story. You probably never heard about the government crime numbers being wrong. And like I've said many times before, the biggest lie from the media is what they don't report. And I speak from experience. And this is why left-leaning adults are still walking around thinking a ton of stuff that has been proven a lie is true. All the people who still naively believe the media, that the media is telling them the truth, who don't look elsewhere, still believe all the lies the media has told them. And because the media doesn't correct themselves, never corrects themselves, these same people are going to vote for Kamala, not knowing the truth. Media is the problem. And around they go until enough people realize they're being deceived. And it is slowly happening. Also new this week, trust in the news media, TV and newspapers, went from 32% last year to 31% trust the media this year. Headline this week reads, Americans' trust in media remains at a low. Article reads, trust in political and civic institutions is highest for local and state governments, lowest for media. Americans' trust in the media first fell to 32% in 2016 and did so again last year. For the third consecutive year, more U.S. adults have no trust at all in the media than trust it a great deal or fair amount. Another 31% of Americans express not very much confidence. And at the same time, TV news ratings are down. Newspapers are closing up. I wonder why. How many of you subscribed to the New York Times like I did? And because it was a great newspaper. But we got so fed up enough with the bias that we unsubscribed. I don't know if that happened to the Reno Gazette Journal too. I used to love those papers. I bet many of you would say the same thing about the San Francisco Chronicle or the Los Angeles Times. They went far left. We didn't leave them. They left us. And we're still losing our trust with the big three. Like CBS, for good reason, for doctoring and editing the Kamala interview on 60 Minutes, and ABC over that debate. But this, the border is closed, inflation is transitory, crime is down. We know better, right? We rarely hear about those things, the real things that Americans are concerned about, the national and the local stations ignoring this. And I think ignoring those issues isn't working. It never works to ignore an issue that's top of mind. So back to the election. And by the way, first day early voting, in-person voting going on today. I think for Kamala Harris to win, she has to offer solutions on those issues that actually matter to the majority of Americans. Inflation, crime, border security. They're not doing it. Again, it's the lie of omission. And instead we get the lies and hyperbole about threats to democracy, price gouging, people paying their fair share. Those are not doing the job. And it's frankly a miracle that the Democrats were able to pull off the switcheroo from Joe Biden and actually maintain a close election, right? So this week, Tim Walz and Kamala have been talking an awful lot about guns lately, right? It's part of the closer you get to Election Day, the more Democrats look like Republicans. It's kind of an odd kind of thing. It's like them lizards out there that change the colors, you know? It's just like that. It's like for 3¾ years, they're glow-in-the-dark liberals. And then a few weeks before Election Day, and all of a sudden there are these law and order candidates that are wanting to shut down the border when, you know, they're through with their pheasant hunt. They're going to do this. It's amazing to me. Kamala's talking about her Glock on interviews. Now, I wish the questioner had known enough to ask, oh, really? What model number? What what caliber? What size bullets do you put in there? Yeah, I wish. And Tim Walz, you know, he's out there hunting for pheasant last Saturday in brand new hunting clothes. You know, he's wearing those chaps like the cowboys wear, and he's like, oh, I hunt all the time. And here's the thing: when politicians go hunting, man, their gear is in pristine shape. It's right off the shelf. It's amazing. Now, I said closer to Election Day, Democrats look like Republicans. Tim Walz, to me, looks like Elmer Fudd with that rifle. I'm sorry. It's true. And so he's there. And then it's time to kill a pheasant. And by that, I mean some bird hatched in a hatchery, kept in a cage. And in about 2 minutes, some guy turns it loose in front of Tim Walz, and he's going to shoot it. Yes. Welcome to pheasant hunting. And there were two mistakes made. Nobody taught Tim Walz how to load the gun, and nobody told reporters when to turn their cameras off. So he's there, you know, trying to cram the shell into the gun. So that was the week that was. That's what went on this week. How was your week? Love to talk to you. You know, we got just the final segment right now. 884-9910. Ask me anything or state what you want to say on this first day of early voting, in-person voting. Which began at 10 o'clock this morning, goes all the way to November 1st, and then Election Day coming up on November 5th. What an exciting time this is, right? Although I think a lot of you are just waiting for the whole thing to be over. Yes, I keep hearing about complaints about the commercials. They can't stand the commercials. Have we all forgotten how bad the commercials were that these replaced? I think so. As a close race to the bottom with commercials lately. Anyway, we'll take a break right now. I'm John Potter, live and local on Saturdays, 9 to noon, on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk, time 11:47.
99.1 KKFT.
This is what I think.
Talk that matters most. FM Talk, 99.1.
And 92.3 FM.
Welcome back. Welcome back, gentle listener. John Potter, live and local, Saturdays 9 to noon. Final segment now. Call in 884-9910. I ran through the texts and emails earlier in the show. At 9 o'clock this morning, I ran through the texts and emails. You see, the thing is, I don't really have time during the show to read emails. Some of them are long. They're very interesting, but they're long. So I see the emails when I get home. And I don't know what this was in reference to, and there is no name on this email. It reads, how about, how about, I guess was the attitude, Proposition 13 in California. That's exactly the same thing. One of the few things that California has that helps a person that lives in their home for a long time. Maybe I think this is in response to me. Did I say something? I may have said something critical about California, but this person is saying Proposition 13 is a great thing in California. And yeah, you know what? It's phenomenal to me how Proposition 13 has actually survived there all these years from those grifters in Sacramento since 1978. Now, I didn't ask you, Phil, have we received any texts, which I don't get to see either this morning, sir?
We have received a few texts, especially from New York, but nothing that we haven't touched on already.
From New York, what do you mean?
We have a listener who's in New York, at least with a New York area
code. Oh, streaming. Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And again, we've had several texts, but nothing that we haven't covered yet.
Okay. So they were, can you tell me what they were in reference to? Or
Mostly Greg Kidd, wanting to know his choice, his feelings on ranked choice voting. And
yeah, we heard that.
Who he would caucus with and so forth.
Yeah, we sure did hear about that. You also had a call during commercials. What was that?
Well, I get calls all the time from people, and one person called and asked if you listen to Hugh Hewitt or Glenn Beck.
Where are they? And don't say this station. I'll be embarrassed. What station runs that?
Hugh Hewitt was on our station. And,
okay.
And I enjoyed listening to him. And Glenn Beck, I got tired of after a while. I used to listen to him years ago, but he's awfully repetitive in my opinion.
You know who I enjoy? I think he used to be on the radio, and now you have to have satellite radio to listen to him. And I listen to him in the truck, and that is the financial guy.
Oh, that yeah, I know who you mean.
Folksy guy. He's real folksy.
Yeah.
You folks know who I'm talking about. But anyway, it's funny. I knew his name just 30 seconds ago. That's oldie. Getting old sucks. But
memory is the second thing to go.
I know.
I can't remember what the first one is.
So anyway, this folksy financial guy, he was on the radio here. So he's on Sirius XM. And he said, somebody called up and said, oh, I'm wanting to buy a house. I got two cats. And he stopped the lady right there. He said, you know what I call cats? I call them $10,000 cats. Because that, believe it or not, is the cost average of the damage a cat does to your house. Now, I thought that was outrageous for him to say, but then I got home and I looked at all the incredible damage that cats do. And we clip their nails. We fight. Oh, it's a wrestling match to clip their nails, all three of them. But they have shredded up all our beautiful furniture, very expensive antique furniture. We put towels on all our furniture and chairs and couches and everything. They claw it all up. And that's why Dave Ramsey.
Bingo.
Yes, thank you. Bingo. Dave Ramsey said they're $10,000 cats. And he's right. I think he's right, because that's how much damage we have in the house to hire an upholster and everything and ruin furniture. Okay, let's go to the phone. Austin. Tim is calling from Austin. Hey, Tim, I'm glad you called. Good morning.
Yeah, hey, very good morning, John. Hey, thanks again for a great informative show and having Greg Kidd on. I didn't really know too much about him, but I always like to find out more about where candidates stand. And I didn't notice, I'm on his website now, and there's one gaping hole in the positions that he has, and that's on the issue of guns and how he stands on the various issues surrounding that in terms of, open carry and concealed carry and just the gun issue in general. I don't see a single thing on his website on his positions on that. And that raises some questions in my mind as to why that is. Do you have any idea?
No, I don't mean to put down Greg Kidd here, but this is not the time to ask a politician what they think about guns. I don't think the answer would be too credible, because look at Kamala and Tim Walz.
Oh,
they love guns, and there's Tim Walz. He's
sure.
A pheasant hunter in his brand new hunting clothes, and Kamala keeps talking about her Glock. Now, come on now. And again, I'll say it. The closer you get to Election Day, the more Democrats, politicians turn into Republicans. It's an amazing thing to see. That's a question. Yeah. Looks to me like you'd get a BS answer. Greg, I'm not picking on you. I think it applies to all politicians. You know? All right. Well, thanks for calling. Appreciate it. Down to the final minute. Okay. Hey, it was great talking with you folks. Appreciate it. Who knows who's going to be on the show next weekend? I think because of our proximity to Election Day, I think there might be some politics to talk about. And that's tough for me because, listen, I'm going to say a cardinal sin here right now on this talk radio station. I'm not into politics. I'm really not.
Gasp.
I'm passionate about the issues, but I'm very skeptical of either party and what these politicians say. I don't think you can trust a politician. There, I said it. But that's, and I'm like Bill Maher when it comes down to that. He is not left. He's not right. He's common sense. And that's what I am. I'm common sense. And I like to be funny at the same time.
But just a reminder, you'll be on Fake Nevada Day next week.
Yes, that's right. Next week, next Saturday, lots to talk about. Halloween. Oh, I got some Halloween material for y'all. Going to be great. Have a great weekend, folks. John Potter, back with you next Saturday on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk. Thanks for putting up with me. I hope you have an outstanding weekend. FM Talk News Time, 11:58. Bye-bye.